I had random people that I'd never seen in any of our meetups. They didn't know anything about Bitcoin Charlotte. Oh, there was like groups like that. And they were very excited to see that I took Bitcoin and they were paying me for that. And that was in Charlotte. The last one that surprised me the most, I was doing a market right where the big Bank of America building was. And I had a lot of people that worked there that came up to me and then bought in Bitcoin. That was great.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Johnny Delgado, who is one of the main personalities behind Delgado's Fuego, which is a line of Peruvian-style hot sauces. We are going to be talking about that business today, but I especially wanted to bring him on the show to talk about the recent Bitcoin marketplace put on by the Bitcoin Charlotte meetup. We're also going to be talking about orange pilling in Peru. Of course, before we get to our conversation with Johnny, we do have this week's Bitcoin meetup spotlight, and of course, it's Bitcoin Charlotte. Bitcoin Charlotte is where plebs become family. They host socials and educational events for the Charlotte community to learn about Bitcoin. Their intention is to connect for networking, education, and fun. These gatherings are truly invaluable experiences where long-term friendships, life-changing ideas, and business ventures are developed. They host multiple events every month, some online and some in person. To learn more about their next three events for this month, visit bitcoincharlotte.org. You can also find them on Twitter at Bitcoin_CLT. Those links are down below, along with the link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Johnny right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the six ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Johnny, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Yeah.
Question number one is this. When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
I would say I will date back 2016 is when I started dabbling into what Bitcoin was. It was more like subliminal messages that I got from the streets in New York City. I think I saw a bunch of stickers here and there, and then that kind of triggered the curiosity to find out what it was. I've always been a techie guy, but I've never been into code or anything like that, so that was new to me. But yeah, that's kind of what pushed me to learn a little bit more about what Bitcoin was.
So two short follow-ups from that. First of all, I've never heard anyone else talk about stickers. Like, people put stickers out all the time. I've never heard someone talk about that being something that, you know, led them to Bitcoin. So have you experienced anyone else with that similar story? And then also, did you start taking Bitcoin pretty seriously from the beginning? Because like, seeing stickers doesn't make it feel like a super serious thing, but just I'd be interested to hear your thoughts connected to those two things.
Yeah, funny. I never thought about that. I don't think I ever heard anybody talk about, but maybe nowadays, because you see it, you know, more and more art going on around the cities. But I don't think anybody's told me that that was the way they got started, you know, with Bitcoin. And no, I don't think I can say that I was very serious about it. At first, it was very, as a known world, I didn't really pay much attention to it. But once I saw it more, I was like, hey, I feel like I've seen that before. Now, what is it, you know? And I feel like back then there was not as far as a lot of good information that you'll find nowadays. So that was also very difficult for me to navigate through the Bitcoin world. I will say that I have made all the mistakes that you can make in this world. And until later on, I found my tribe, you know, my people, because everything I just did by myself.
Question number two, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
I feel like freedom money is what I wish everybody would understand. As you know, I got into it myself when I first got into it, was more of the number go up. All the, you know, breakout being make money fast and just not digging deep down into what really Bitcoin brings to the world, as far as that freedom money and Yeah, I feel like that's the main thing that I wish people would understand from the get-go. Mm.
Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
I would say I'd start with meetups. Meetups is a great resource. It helped me personally a lot. And the other one I would say nowadays, definitely BTC sessions. And I say that nowadays because as a Peruvian man, I'm always looking for resources in Spanish. And I think that's very hard to find. There's only a handful of podcasts and resources out there that will help you go to navigate the Bitcoin world in Spanish without dabbling into BS. And now that Ben has been doing his AI translation to Spanish, like, yes, that's great.
I haven't watched any of those yet. And, you know, it would be great because I don't know Spanish all that well. I did live in Honduras for a few years, but was in a situation where, I was learning some, but wasn't forced really into like the total submersion. But it would be cool to take a look at some of his stuff and kind of relearn or strengthen my Spanish through listening to Bitcoin videos. For the first time ever, it's funny that you say that because for the first time ever, I actually, when I was looking up one of his videos or looking up something from him, I actually saw one of his Spanish videos. So how long has he been doing that? Is that a pretty recent thing?
Yeah, I would say in the last 3 months or four. I know he dropped a bunch of them after we came back from El Salvador. We were talking about it then because, yeah, he has a couple words that get translated. And one of the videos he has, instead of sats, like satoshis, it'll translate in Spanish as satellites. Satélites, so it's understandable if you already know some of the lingo and what's going on to kind of translate it in your head. Like, this is not what it meant, but somebody new may throw a little monkey wrench there trying to understand what he's trying to say. But for the most part, it's pretty awesome. Like, his mouth moves like it. He sounds like it. Benito's on the way.
That's awesome. Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently?
There's one that really grinds my gears to think of what to say on that because I feel like people are always a good tool for me, just making those connections, networking, and that dabbles into Bitcoin as well as everything else that I do. Sure. I have a friend, my very good friend, Liz. She's got a whole concept spreading love, show love, give love and whatnot. So I think that's definitely one of them.
I don't know if people have talked about the network side too much, but having a strong network, especially of people who are really aligned with what you believe and what you're about, really opens up a lot of doors. So that's a great answer. Question number five, we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and is this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
So personally, I would say why not. And the reason why, because I think both of those questions are generally relative to who you are and the situations you are. Mm. But in my situation, why not just opens up new adventures.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth. Wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, Johnny, we're here today to talk about any number of things. The original reason I wanted to talk with you is about the recent Bitcoin market that you guys had at the connected to the Charlotte Bitcoin meetup. I want to find out about that. What other people who are involved in their own local meetups might be able to learn from it, whether it's like do this or don't do this. But then you're also you're the man behind Delgado's Fuego, and so we've had one of the hot sauce interview in the past, but would love to talk a little bit about that as well as what you're connected to or what you're doing in Peru. So there's plenty to talk about, but first of all, how is the Bitcoin market? How did it come to be? And I'd just love to hear what your experience was with that market.
Okay. So a little backstory. So through my Bitcoin journey, I found Bitcoin meetups, which was Bitcoin Charlotte. And that's when I found my tribe. I was learning more, very excited with it and share what I learned and especially help others don't make the mistakes that I made, right? So we collectively started organizing educational series, meetups, and then eventually we started doing what we call Halloween. It's a big celebration that we do during Halloween for Bitcoin. We've been doing it 3 years in a row. And I bring this up because as I do vendor markets, different farmers markets with the hot sauce myself, that was an idea that we had to do last year, part of Halloween. Because we have done, you know, of course, the Halloween party where everybody dresses up as what they think Satoshi Nakamoto looks like. Mm. We do meat dinners. We do pumpkin carvings. 1 year we did a conference with a lot of speakers. Another year we did just a party itself. Last year we thought about changing it up a little bit and do the market. So we actually did a market originally last year, part of Halloween series right before the Halloween party. And we had about six vendors, perhaps myself, a couple other Bitcoiners brought in. And through my vendor events, I was, I'm always talking about Bitcoin. I have Bitcoin stickers all over my table. So people, you know, that triggers a conversation. So other vendors were very interested. So three of them came and, you know, just brand new to the Bitcoin space and were part of that. So we thought, man, that was pretty cool. We should try to do it again. You know, why not? To start doing it. So me and Jacob, that runs Bitcoin Charlotte, started the idea, why don't we do it? So between the Bitcoin Charlotte group, we came together, try to hit up different market vendors. We kind of made it a competition to see how many of our people can bring more vendors into it. And we ended up with 21 vendors, but unfortunately, one of them he's already a Bitcoiner. He has a family emergency, so he had to pull out of there. But man, from 6 to 21, and most of them were, well, the three that originally came, they came back. And then we have a bunch of new ones that had nothing to do about Bitcoin. They didn't know anything about it. It was a challenge, but it was great, you know, because I love teaching people about this and just trying to get them through that curve and accepting Bitcoin, especially with the food truck, because they have a very particular point of sale system. We held it at a regular place. It's called Southern Stream Brewery here in Charlotte, and they have been taking Bitcoin in this brewery for a long time. That's where we have our meetups regularly. But yeah, it was great to have all these new people that come in and take Bitcoin and just going around talking to all the vendors. Everybody loved it and just loved to learn. I have a couple people that's hitting me up to learn a little bit, dig deeper into that world.
Of those people, it sounds like most of them were not Bitcoiners. What was their response? Were they open to, I'm guessing part of the Bitcoin market was accepting Bitcoin. In general, how did people respond either in advance or after the event?
It was interesting, to say the least. You know, I had a couple of vendors that hit me up through word of mouth. You know, one of them stayed with us. The other one, after talking to this partner, dropped out of the bill. But at that point, I didn't really have the time to sit down and say, hey, man, this is what's going on. Because I had 20 other vendors, well, less than that, but to deal with as far as trying to get them to figure out the best way for them to take Bitcoin, which we use mostly Cash App because it was something already they were used to, familiar with using Cash App already. The returning vendors, they were using regular wallets that we introduced them to. But it was very interesting to see how people reacted with that because I feel like it's still very early for everybody here in the United States. People don't understand Bitcoin for what it is. And usually when you come into it, it's a scary world because you don't understand it, right? So it's easy for vendors to understand credit card fees and digital payments like Venmo, Cash App that they already use. So that's why we use Cash App as an easy transition to get them into it. But, you know, I was surprised there was not a whole lot of pushback. I think everybody that became a vendor were very new to it, but that motivated them to learn more about Bitcoin. And yeah, just asking them and constantly asking them if they're ready to go, if they need any help. Sometimes, you know, I was, oh man, these people are not going to reply to me. They might drop out. But no, at the end of the day, everybody came through. Now, after the fact, we're getting a lot of good feedback. Actually, one of the ladies that sell kombucha, she was just posting about it in her social media that this was such a great event, such a great vibe. And she's been learning about Bitcoin. There's another vendor that sold jewelry, and she's from El Salvador. So she was telling me how excited she was to actually go to El Salvador and spend her Bitcoin. Yeah. So I was letting her know. I was letting a Salvadorian know where to go in El Salvador to spend the Bitcoin. So that was pretty funny. So, very good feedback. We had a Colombian coffee guy that he's just now has stickers all over his food truck, his little truck that he brings. You know, he's all about it. And my other buddy that came back, he's got a business called Art Card Noda, and he does spray paint. So he had a stencil with Satoshi on it, so he can make every little piece of art that he had into a Satoshi work of art. But yeah, it was great. And having some of our own Bitcoin Charlotte members just come up with their own ideas and art, like my friend Michael brought in some awesome art that he's been doing. And then also my friend Sean brought his guards that he uses for jiu-jitsu. But yeah, just all together, it was great. It was such a great event to have everybody there.
What is the experience of trying to get people to pay in Bitcoin? I'm guessing part of the Bitcoin market was, I don't know if it was only Bitcoin or if it's Bitcoin and USD, but it's way easier to fall into those easier patterns, those familiar patterns of paying in dollars. What was it like getting people to actually pay in Bitcoin? Was it primarily the Bitcoin Charlotte people who were purchasing things, or did the community figure out how to get Bitcoin into their wallets?
Very good question. So I can relate that to my own situation when I sell my hot sauce in non-Bitcoin events. I had random people that I've never seen in any of our meetups. They didn't know anything about Bitcoin Charlotte. Oh, there was like groups like that. And they were very excited to see that I took Bitcoin and they were paying me for that. And that was here in Charlotte. The last one that surprised me the most, I was doing a market right where the big Bank of America building was. And I had a lot of people that worked there that came up to me and then bought in Bitcoin. That was great. As far as the market goes, we had a lot of questions because the way we advertised it was, hey, this is a Bitcoin market. So as soon as you see Bitcoin, it's like, hey, you know, what is this? I don't have Bitcoin, so why would I go and spend it? So we did open it up to any type of payment, but the whole idea was to get people familiarized on how to use Bitcoin and kind of crush through all those thoughts like Bitcoin does. Nobody uses Bitcoin. You can't buy anything with Bitcoin. It's like, man, you can buy all kinds of stuff here. At the Bitcoin market, yes, we had a lot of people that came in from Bitcoin Charlotte. I saw some people that I did not recognize. They were purchasing things with Bitcoin. I wouldn't say that there was a lot of people off the streets that try to buy Bitcoin to purchase things with it. I don't think I saw much of that. That's the hope, right? That we keep this growing and having it more and more so people are more aware of introducing themselves to how to use this money that you can easily accessible through, you know, Cash App or Venmo. Without having to go through an exchange and try to buy it, send it here. That takes a lot of bigger learning curve that we're also trying to tackle. By little, we'll get to that point.
So before moving to other subjects, some kind of summary thoughts here. What are some things for people who like this idea? What are some things you'd recommend them to do and recommend them not to do now that you have two of these events under your belt?
Okay. Definitely try to work together with other meetups around town. If there are any close by in other states or neighboring cities, to see if they had ideas on how to work better in your local businesses. We had in the mountains about 3 hours away, there's Asheville, and we actually had vendors from that meetup that came here to vend with us. We had a couple people from South Carolina that came. So that was that's great when everybody comes together in a big event that everybody can participate in. We try to promote it as much as we can in regular social media. I think the Bitcoin part of it scares a lot of people away from it, but we're sticking to that. You know, I wouldn't say deviate from that away from that, because that's the whole point, is just to put that in front of people's faces and see that this is something that is possible. We're able to do. My concern was always get enough foot traffic so it's worth a while for everybody there, the vendors, and we had constant foot traffic. Again, you know, and we did do it in a brewery that's close to a neighborhood called Plaza Midwood here in Charlotte. That's pretty popular, and there's a lot of people around there. But the struggle was that there's another big festival about two blocks down the street too. And I was wondering, you know, if that wasn't happening, how much more people we would have been coming across to us. Promote the crap out of it. Word of mouth works great. And you know, just use your number of mediums of advertisement with it. The Bitcoin community, they help a lot, just sharing it. But being somewhere in Charlotte, I feel like we attracted some people that were Bitcoiners from away that were not aware of Bitcoin Charlotte altogether. So I think that helped with the advertisement that we did.
Yeah. So moving slightly away from the Bitcoin market, Delgado's Fuego is what you were selling that day and what you sell at other markets. So could you share with us a little bit about that aspect of what you do? I don't think it's your primary business, but a little bit about the Peruvian hot sauce world and just what got you into that, and maybe even some recommendations for people who like hot sauce listening to this podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a hobby that I started with my father. So background story on that, my dad's birthday is July 4th. So ever since he was a little kid living in Peru, he always wanted to live here because they celebrate his birthday pretty big, you know? So that's what we did. We always had big parties. My mom would make awesome Peruvian food and my dad would make this one hot sauce all the time. And throughout the years, we always had that going on for then and for New Year's, and friends and family started asking us to make the hot sauce for them. So that's what we did. Eventually, I did it more in, I used to work for a company that had a huge campus, and they organized a vendor event for employees only. So they asked me if I had anything. I was like, well, not necessarily anything legit, but let's go ahead and bring it over. And that's kind of what the idea came from, because I was able to see that just people that were not biased towards us love what we make to love. You know what I mean? What we make with this hot sauce. And then we just started doing vendor events, and it was more of an idea to spend more time with my father, get him out of the house, go out and just have a good time. I mean, like, I'm already going to be here, might as well set up a table and sell something. And then we added two more sauces to the bill. We have three now. We make everything with this very old Peruvian pepper called rocoto, R-O-C-O-T-O. It grows in the Andes. It's a big, looks like a bell pepper. It's a red tomato-looking pepper with black seeds. It's delicious, very earthy, and it's very old. I have a whole write-up on my website, delgadosfuego.com, about this pepper that actually the Incas used to use it as currency back in the day. So I'm like, hey, there you go, money. We've been taking Bitcoin as payment ever since I remember when we started doing payments for people. And we have been part of a couple conferences here and there, like Bitcoin Day or Blackout, and our own Halloween, of course, and organize event for vendors to see how easy for small businesses to take Bitcoin as payment as well, just kind of sharing our story. Recommendations wise, man. So I'm Peruvian, and I feel like Peruvian food is recognized for how good the food is, but not as much as how hot it is, how you think about Mexican food or Indian food or whatnot. So my level of heat is to a point where I can enjoy my food still and have that flavor to it. So that's kind of what resonates in our hot sauce. The hottest one is one we started with, which we call Sabancaya. They are actually all named after active volcanoes in Peru. So we made volcanoes cool before El Salvador did. So Sabancaya is the one we started with. It's got a rocoto and habanero. It's got such a creamy, awesome flavor. We started with that until we got a lot of feedback that it was a little bit too hot for somebody's significant other to handle it. So we took out the habanero. The new one was born, which we called the Misty. This is a volcano in Arequipa, Peru, where a lot of the rocoto pepper is grown. So that one has pretty much our best seller right now. It's got the medium heat. It's got all the flavor of the rocoto pepper. And after that, both of those, the Sabancaya and the Misty, look pretty similar as far as the color orange. It's kind of like this little Bitcoin orange color that it has. So my dad was getting confused at the point with both of them. So we added a mint. It's a black Peruvian mint called Huacatay. We added to the Misty. So we mix in the rocoto and the Huacatay, and it gave it this green color and this very unique, different, weird, special flavors, what the feedback that we get. And it kind of gives it a dill pickly flavor. It's very unique. So now we have those three. That's our mildest version of the hot sauces that we have. But they're very flavorful. That's what we aim for the most. And it's got some heat as well.
Now, you were just talking about Peru. So it's a natural transition to the next thing, which is what you've been doing to help to orange peel people in Peru. I know you've also had some connection to Motive. So what's the climate like in Peru? How often do you get back over there? And yeah, I'd just love to hear what your thoughts are there.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely not as often as we'd like to. Back then, I would say back then, like before the pandemic, I try to be there every 2 years, every 3 years or so. But I also want to travel somewhere else. You know, I have family there still, mainly my dad's side of the family. And as a good Bitcoiner, always trying to orange peel them for the longest time. And there's always that barrier that, you know, it's a scam and we're skeptical over there in Peru about anything like that. So even my friends and family that I love, I'm like, hey, man, you know, just take a look at this, just study it. Don't even buy anything. Or if so, like, just get a little bit, you know, get a beer, get some Bitcoin or whatnot, you know, just study it a little bit, which kind of led me to think like, hey, so I'm trying to get these people, my family, to get through as far as understanding anything, like just to listen to me, really. Open the ears, open the eyes toward this new concept that I found to be really great, and I feel like it will help them and their families in the future. So I was like, well, let me see if there's anything local maybe they can attend to. Maybe they see some other Peruvians kind of understanding this from their point of view, because they're probably like, hey, you've been living outside of Peru for a long time. Like, it might not be resonating to you like it does to us. You know, things like that. I'm like, hey, man, I grew up there. I know how it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe not nowadays exactly how it is. So I looked around. There was a lot of blockchain conferences. There was a lot of shit coining going on over there. Altcoins going on over there. Yeah, technical term. So it was very hard to find anything just Bitcoin only. Even if they call themselves Bitcoin only, they threw in their Kui coin, their Alpaca coin, their Llama coin. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard to do until I finally found somebody that was aligned with that. So we talked about organizing something like we have here, a meetup group, Bitcoin Charlotte. So we started this group called Orange Peel Peru. And then we had like five founder members. And together we just started growing this group and having meetups, which are a little bit harder for me because I'm not there, you know, mm-hmm. So I can only participate making graphics or ads or giving ideas, kind of mimicking what we're doing here, what I'm seeing here in the United States. And it helped a lot. And through that, again, you know, I'm looking for Bitcoiners in Peru, just seeing what's going on, seeing who I can familiarize myself with or join forces with. And that's when I ran into a podcast that Rich, one of the founders of Motive, had. And I was like, man, I was hooked. I was like, this is exactly the whole purpose of me trying to orange peel people in Peru is all about, you know, helping the people that need it the most. You know, that's one of those things that breaks me into the Bitcoin world. Some people just have a lot and then just worry about arguing about petty things. And then some people just don't have anything and they're just trying to survive. And these other people don't understand that some of them cannot save because all the money that they get, it just needs to be reused and it's harder to save in Bitcoin. So it's a harder transition there, but yeah, Motive was such a, such a great concept that I wanted to get behind. So I tried to just find them, you know, I was trying to like get in touch with them, even him or Valentin is the other co-founder of Motive. And thanks to starting Orangefield Peru and then, you know, starting a whole group that people were joining, we're able to get somebody there that, you know, gave me a direct contact to them. And it was just history after that. I met Rich in person at the last Bitcoin conference in Miami. Then I met Valentin. Well, I had conference calls with him, but we finally met in person at Adopting Bitcoin in El Salvador, which by far was my favorite conference I attended so far. And yeah, after that, you know, done deal. Like, hey, let's work together. Let me spread the word wherever I go. I am actually planning on going to Peru. I keep delaying this trip, but hopefully I go in August and September, and we're starting to kick off the travel with Peru. I mean, travel with Bitcoin in Peru. So we already have the number six tourist company in Peru lined up with taking Bitcoin payments. You know, you name it. It's a lot of different packages, including Machu Picchu, of course. And we're trying to figure out kind of like the dynamic on how do we want to do that, just because we have Motive spread out through, like, I believe now it's like 16 circular economies throughout Peru. But these are not necessarily the most touristy places that you would like to see, you know, compared to something like Peru or Líneas de Nazca or like City of Lima, whatnot. These are more remote places in the jungle, in the coast, in the mountains, in the beaches where people need you the most. So, yeah, we're trying to plan to see, I guess, just kind of offer different packages to see what people want to do. If you want to come and spend your Bitcoin and help some circular economists and see how people that are not ever in Twitter or anything like that, living the life that we want to live with the circular Bitcoin economy, then come on down. But if you want to go and do all the great things that in Peru has to offer, like surfing and a lot of touristy places, then we can do that as well. You know, we can incorporate everything and the food is amazing. So just come on down. That is something that we're starting to kick off this year. I already have a couple people coming into Peru this month, next month, and then, you know, checking it out. I'm excited also to see what Joe Nakamoto, Julian Figueroa, and Isabel are doing over there. I know they're Julian and Isabel are releasing their documentary in Peru and Motive this 15th of the month. So I'm excited about that. I already saw a rough draft a month ago, and it's just, man, it's just like, yeah, I'm excited to see that. And what Joe Nakamoto keeps bringing out as well, he's bringing up, I believe, like five different 12 to 15 video shorts on YouTube and ultimately just compiling into one big documentary. So more to come with that. You guys will be able to see what's in store for you in Peru and what Motive is doing in the circular economies in Peru as well.
That's awesome. Well, we've covered a lot today. I know you're involved in other things. Are there other things that you particularly want to talk about today, or is your heart at rest, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, the heart at rest, definitely. I did mention a little bit of Hodlween. Hodlween.party is the website that we made for this great celebration that we do for Bitcoin and Halloween. This year, we're taking it on the road. So we are scheduling it for October 26th and we're going to kind of piggyback with TAP conference in Atlanta. So we're still working on different details with that. As far as Orangefield Peru, we're trying to get more hands-on as far as introducing people to how to make their own nodes, especially with the CBDCs trying to get approved in Peru at the moment. We're trying to incentivize more people to kind of learn about more of the technical parts of Bitcoin, like running your own nodes. So we started a Geyser fund to see if we can collect some funds to be able to rent places so we can dedicate more resources in order to do this. But yeah, just please follow Orangefield Peru, Motive Peru, Halloween, Delgado's Fuego.
We'll try to include a number of those in the show notes. If there's like one place, not to overwhelm people who don't want to like click through the show notes to each different one, what would be the best place, do you think, for people to go to keep up with what you're doing?
Delgado's Fuego. I always share everything else that we do on there. Delgado'sFuego.com, Delgado's Fuego on Twitter and all the social medias, Noster as well. You can find me sharing everything that has to do with Motive, Orangefield Peru, Halloween, whatever, you name it. And well, of course, the hot sauce.
Perfect. Well, Johnny, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, man. You guys have a good day.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Johnny, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if you're interested in hot sauce, definitely check out Delgado's Fuego. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.